I think really good overall. We've actually got our Academy 8 in session, and with that Academy, we'll be at full authorized strength, which is a great position for us to be in going into this summer. So that's a positive. We're working our way through the legislative session, a lot of things in there that I think would be beneficial for the community and our officers. And the weather's also pretty nice, so as we sit, we're looking good.
And I know that the policing definitely has gotten different than it was, years ago. And with that comes some different challenges in whether it's jail capacity or actually people, you're pulling more people over, I'm sure. With that comes some challenges, right?
Yeah, well, I think, there's challenges in our statutes that have been there for a long time, and they're increasing even at our local level with our ordinances as a result of that. And when you create something in a legislature, in the law rather, and you make it not criminal, you've kind of created an unlaw. Because when you make something a non-criminal fine, and for some things like parking, most of your traffic and things like that, it's very appropriate. But when you take things like, say, public urination or something like that, or at a city level or state level, and you make that a non-criminal offense, you've effectively tied the hands of the police because we cannot make any type of physical arrest or address that behavior in any way other than to hand someone a ticket and walk away. And so, that's a lot of the things that we've been looking at, and you'll see some things on Monday's agenda relative to that after some conversations with our downtown community partners and identifying some things that even I was unaware of in that category. But so there's some new things, but there's some old things too. And I think there's a lot of things in our statutes that if they're not criminal, I don't know if there's a realization how that really hinders the ability of the police in some of these instances.
And so are these things, Chief, that you're going to continue obviously working on them, but that you're going to need support from like the legislative body to take care of? Where is the control, or where does all of this lie?
Yeah, well, a lot of it at the legislative level, and and certainly it'd be great to work with some legislators on this particular issue. I've had a couple conversations even last session about some of the issues in terms of identification and things of that nature. And so there's Supreme Court case law and North Dakota Supreme Court case law that talks about, once we've done a stop, a temporary detention, even in our traffic situation, because driving without a license is also non-criminal. In many states, it's a crime, and you just get arrested for that. So we have to work around that. So it's a lot more difficult for officers. We just that doesn't mean we're avoiding it or people get away with stuff, but it takes a lot more effort. And so the reason that is because of those case laws that say basically you can't arrest someone for failing to identify themselves. For that being the only reason, unless there's some other lawful reason to arrest them. And so several states, including Nevada and I believe Colorado, have a state law that is acceptable. In fact, part of one of the Supreme Court decisions that if a state creates a law that makes it a crime to fail to identify yourself when lawfully stopped by the police, then that solves the problem. And then police don't have to go through a whole bunch of other hoops to try and figure out who you might be. And so that ties in with our limitations as police in North Dakota, where we can only arrest for misdemeanors that occur in our presence, with a couple of exceptions, and felony offenses. And so when we get into situations for misdemeanor crimes that we didn't witness, but there's otherwise probable cause to make an arrest, we basically, can temporarily detain the person, acquire the information, and forward it to a prosecutor for review. And so that's different than in a lot of other states. And so that combined with the lack of a statute regarding identification or requiring it with a penalty, current law saying you may demand it doesn't create a penalty and doesn't create that adherence piece. So, yeah, so I mean, there's some things that we have to constantly work with our officers, train them up on, and kind of guide them through. But we do have some hurdles in that respect. And I think some work at the state legislative level would definitely help.
Fargo Police Chief Dave Zabolski joining us here. So, if I'm understanding right, it's not a factor that, you know, you're just gathering information and letting go. There's no legal grounds to arrest somebody for anything more less than a criminal violation.
In general, yeah. So there's a lot of circumstantial things here that you got to look at. And if you look at, there's a lot of statutory references. If you look at Century Code 12.1-32-01, that defines your classifications of crimes. So you have felony, misdemeanor, and then you have infractions. All of those level of crime allow the officers, again, misdemeanors in our presence, there's still limitations there, but allow them the ability to make an arrest based on whether they have probable cause or their discretion. So we don't arrest for even all infractions, but we could if we needed to. And so one of those situations might be we have someone who committed an infraction and we're having difficulty identifying them. Well, if it's an arrestable offense, it's easy. We just arrest them, we book them, and either they're going to eventually tell us or we'll find out through prints who they are. So that's not a problem. The problem comes in when we have to deal with things that are classified as non-criminal, which, again, counterintuitive to what most people would think, puts us in a position where we can't make a physical arrest. And so that's something that we're constantly trying to work around and educate our officers on how they can work through that. Now, is that a common problem? It's not a hugely common problem, but it does come up from time to time. As you'll see Monday, like we're going to try and address a couple of local ordinances here that some time ago were transitioned back from infractions. And this was a commission move to non-criminal, and that was for, you know, different appropriate reasons at the time. And we're talking to downtown partners and identifying that these are the behaviors that they're having a lot of problems with. And as we look at it, we're like, well, no wonder there's an issue, because our officers are unable to make a physical arrest when these things are occurring. So we're going to start tackling that at the local level. So there's kind of a state and local level attachment, but the big piece would be something at the state level across the board that would make that an actual crime. So it would have to be an infraction level offense for someone lawfully detained to fail to provide their identification when asked by an officer. And so, and that doesn't mean they have to incriminate themselves in any way. That just means that they have to identify themselves for the officer so that they can actually forward that investigation to a prosecutor, right? As you can imagine, pretty hard for a prosecutor to look at a case if we haven't figured out the name of the potential suspect, right? So,
right.
And lots of ways that we can figure that out, but it takes a lot of additional time and work on our officer's part.
Chief, you've talked a lot about the downtown and your work with downtown. This has been downtown safety of downtown has come up several times over the last couple of years in mm-hmm. your conversations with the downtown businesses and those groups. How's the safety of downtown? Are things improving? What are you hearing from downtown?
Well, two things, right? And so safety, absolutely very safe if from just a crime, reported crime perspective. But we also have the perception of crime or the perception of fear of crime, right? And that ties in a lot with some of these other behaviors that we haven't been able to effectively regulate. And so part of a larger plan here at the city, and I'm sure you've heard the mayor talk about this in terms of the homeless issue, which is inextricably connected with mental health and addiction. There's some short term, but there's also some long term strategic things that need to be laid out from a city perspective. And a number of our department heads, including myself, are working on this particular plan. There's a diversion type of function that the public health is looking at creating as well as part of this. So those types of things are going to help address that fear of crime, and also our ability on some of these ordinance related matters to take action when it's appropriate and then either defer or hold accountable from there will help that going forward. So we I think our downtown community has a lot of positive things to look forward to from that, whether it's the actual crime or fear of crime perspective for this summer.